What were we doing last week when class ended? Yeah. What were we doing about the 17 time periods? We were reciting them. Let's do a little bit of history, because we've got at least one new family and a few new people here. People who were not here when we started this program, this course of study. Why did we do this? Why did we take on this 17 periods of the Bible?
Context.
Context, to get the context, to understand the flow. To strengthen our own knowledge, yes.
Help us teach our kids.
Sometime just prior to that, many of you recall, we went through a study based on the book Already Gone. Based on the Bible, but referring to the book Already Gone. And what was the main thrust of the book Already Gone?
The idea was that kids fall away from their faith before they get to college.
Right. College might be when they physically say, hey, Dad and Mom aren't looking. I'm not going anywhere to worship. But mentally, they check out long before that. Mentally, you've lost them long before that. So, in an attempt to be sure we don't lose any of those kids back there and some who have come later, we wanted a program that whole families could embrace at the same time. Yes, we have the parents a quarter ahead. But why did we do that? So the parents are prepared to help their children through the course of study. And we've got it set up. The kids downstairs are a quarter behind us, as long as we stay pretty close on track. So there are, you know, we found this curriculum that the Waldrons put together that is really very well done. We looked at it from several different perspectives. We looked at what other congregations have done with it, and we came up with what you're getting now. You'll remember there were three cycles. Before we started this deep dive, there were three cycles to this. What was the first? It took us all of 2 weeks. What was the first cycle? Learn the 17 time periods. Let's see if that worked. What's the first one, this side? Before the flood, what's the link? What's the link to the next one?
I got a cheat sheet.
He's got that because he wasn't here. So some of this is for his benefit. Most of you had it earlier. You certainly had the material. The link was?
How evil man was.
Man became very evil. So in the fifth chapter of Genesis, there is a genealogy that goes from Adam to a particular man whose name started with N. And God said to him, build an ark. There's going to be a flood. So the second of the periods is the flood. Why didn't we just say before the flood and after the flood? That would include up through today. Too broad. Okay?
But also omit the flood itself.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. Could have had a... No, okay. Yes, it would. All right. So, the flood. 40 days and 40 nights it rained, and waters came up from under the crust of the earth, and a lot of water. Water everywhere. Wow. What's the next period? We're going to get the link. What's the next period? Okay. What brought us to that? Okay. I'm sorry?
Pride,
yes. Okay. The flood ended. The ark came to rest on Ararat. God told them, do what? Go forth and multiply. They chose to stay in the plains of... Little memory here. Start with an S, ends with an R. Shinar. Okay. Instead of doing what God told them, they chose to stay in the plains of Shinar. So, God says, if people won't do what I'm telling you, I'll scatter you. So how did he do that? What did they try to do? Somebody already mentioned it, the Tower of Babel. What were they trying to do with that?
He wanted to build a tower to make a name for himself so he wouldn't scatter.
Yeah, and what else did they think they could do with that tower? Reach. Reach the heavens. Be as. Come on now. Really?
Well, I would be careful. We say that, but when we went through it, I think that the point that they were trying to do was to try to build a tower that was very tall, make a name for themselves.
And be as.
And so then they could make that name for themselves and they wouldn't be.
Okay, good points. So if you were looking at this kind of a rough timeline, here's the ark comes to rest in these mountains up high here. They go down into these plains and they stay there, and then they try to build this tower. Okay, so just picture it as a high end, a low valley, and then up again. God didn't allow that. God scattered them. What did he use to scatter them? Languages. If you can't all speak the same language, you're not going to communicate well. Probably not going to be good for you to be in the same area. Okay? I think we saw this in our own country when a lot of the immigrants came over. You have different parts of bigger cities that are Italian, primarily Italian. Others that are Irish and so on. And it's according to language. Language is a big part of it. So after the scattering of the people, what's the next period? The patriarchs. What does patriarch mean? Father rule. Okay? There are a whole group of patriarchs, whole group of fathers ruling, but we focused on three mainly. Who was the first?
Abraham
was the first of note for us, followed by Isaac, followed by
Jacob.
Sean, what chapter deals with the promise given to the patriarchs?
As everyone should know this, this is Genesis 12.
Genesis 12. So, if we were to say, what chapters cover the patriarchal period, he's already told you it's going to begin in Genesis chapter 12, and it's going to go through the rest of Genesis, which would take it to Genesis chapter 50. Now, who was the last major character that we saw in Genesis?
Joseph.
Okay. Was Joseph one of the patriarchs? What's the story about Joseph, and how does it lead us to the next period? Joseph was one of how many sons? Favorite son or favorite brother, right? Oh, no, not quite. Matter of fact, they sold him to get rid of him. Thought about killing him. Well, we can't do that, but here comes this caravan. We can sell him, and he ends up in Egypt. What does he do in Egypt? I know several things, but big thing he does is... Go ahead, Molly.
He became the
Pharaoh. Yeah, second only to the Pharaoh. And what did he do for the Pharaoh? He said, there's a bad time coming. Here's how you get ready. And he was able to save, as it were, the Egyptian people from that famine. Who came along? Who came to Egypt looking for grain?
Brothers.
And he finally got them to bring father and younger brother down. Pretty soon, all of Jacob's people are there. As they are there, they multiply. And the Egyptians see, ooh, these Israelites have become a great people among us. What are we going to do with them? So what do they do with them? They enslave them. All right? The people of Israel cry out. They cry to God, and at some point, how many years was it? How many years were they down there in bondage? 400 years. So at 400 years, God hears them and decides, I'm going to send somebody in there. And he's going to lead them out. And who does he choose? Moses. And what do we call that leading out? They're leaving Egypt. The Exodus. The period of the Exodus. Not just the book of Exodus. The Exodus. Okay? So, they're leaving Egypt. They are finally encouraged to leave because of what was the final straw? There were a series of plagues, and the last one was the death of the firstborn. Okay? So, Pharaoh and the Egyptians say, you people got to leave. So they're out there, and they're doing this exodus. They are leaving, and along the way, how far do they get before they start complaining? What's one of their first complaints? What do they complain about? Yeah, why? What was going to kill them? I'm sorry?
Well, the Egyptians were chasing.
Yeah. The Egyptians were chasing, and in front of us, in front of them, what did they have? A lot of water. Later, they're going to cry for water, but there's a lot of water in front of them. What are we going to do? God sent us out here, brought us out here to die at the hands of the Egyptians because they're pursuing with horses and chariots and so on and so on. And what does God do? He makes plenty of room for them to pass on dry land. Doesn't say muddy, says on dry land. Now, I've told you how they did this in the movie, how they made the stage effect, the scene effect. A lot of gelatin. I can't imagine how much Knox gelatin they had to use. Some of you old enough to remember Knox gelatin. Okay? To make a set, I'm just amazed. It would be a lot easier now with the computer graphics and so on, but what they must have done to make that movie at that time. Anyway, so they do some wandering around, and they're really not all that far from the promised land, are they? Geographically, how far were they?
Well, they're not that far. They did go south. They were ready to go to
south. Yeah. Why did they need to go do some wandering? What was the reason? I think Jared covered it in his class.
Well, there are two reasons. One was they weren't ready for war, so they didn't go up through the Philistines' land. And the other was that God wanted them to go to Sinai.
Okay. God had a place in mind for them to get, and there had to be some training going on along the way. Okay? Now, so far as lengthy discussions, I'm going to end it there because we're going to pick up there in just a few minutes. But we're going to go ahead and go through these 17 periods. We've gotten to the Exodus. What's the next one? Which side are we on? We'll go back here. Wandering in the wilderness. Today's, the topic for this quarter. Wandering in the wilderness. What's the transition? What makes its end? What makes the wandering stop? They were told how long they were going to wander, right? Until certain things happen. We're going to talk about those. When those things happen, and at the end of that period, which God said, 1 year for every day, so we're going to discuss, I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing, was it 38 and a half or was it 40? 40 years, let's call it. 40 years. We can pick at 38 if you want, but he said 40 years. 1 day or 1 year for every day. That period ended. Got them back up to where they should be able to cross over. So, what do we call that next period, this side? The invasion and conquest. This is when the people went in and took the land they were promised, as they should have done 40 years prior, but didn't. After the invasion and conquest, we have a whole group of people, and we call them... Oh, why? They were deliverers of the people. Why did we need judges?
They
What happened? Early in the book of Judges, we learned something. There arose a generation, easy for me, a simple word. There arose a generation that knew not God. Joshua had been a faithful leader for them, hadn't he? We're going to talk about Joshua in another time. But there arose a generation that didn't know of him. Same thing as that happened earlier down in Egypt. There arose a generation of Egyptians that did not know about Joseph. There arose a Pharaoh who didn't know. Anyway, a little lesson there for us. Let's make sure our kids remember the things and people and characters they need to remember. All right, so we have these judges. A couple of notable ones. Just throw out a name. See if I know the first one you're going to throw out.
Samson.
Oh, I knew it. Samson. Any other notable judges?
Deborah.
Okay. A couple notable judges and what they did. What did they do? What was the function of these judges?
First, it was to deliver them from the problem they were facing.
Okay. They delivered them from the oppressor of the time, and
frequently after that, they led the people, giving guidance and direction.
Okay. Hopefully, back to God. And then the cycle repeated. And then it repeated. And it repeated. But after the judges, the people cried out, all these countries around us, all these nations have kings. And what did they say? We want a king. We want to be like these other nations. So we saw three notable kings, and we used Gary's acronym from way back when, SDS. Who were those three first notable kings?
Saul,
David, and Solomon. Okay, and they ruled over what we know as the United Kingdom. There's a period of time known as the United Kingdom. That United Kingdom would mean Judah and Israel. Now what happened, though?
Fell away again.
There's a link. You know, Solomon became involved with a lot of foreign women. His unfaithfulness led to idolatry. Israel was particularly bad. So what happened to Israel? Who came and took them captive?
Syria.
Okay. I kind of missed or mulled over the divided kingdom in there. You know, because there were some kings, some sons, and so on of Solomon afterward. Go ahead.
Assyria. Okay.
Yeah. But really, I need to hit this divided kingdom first part. First, there was the United Kingdom, then the divided kingdom. Israel was taken into captivity by whom? Assyria. Assyria. Assyrian captivity took the Israelites, or Israel, away. That left who?
Judah
alone. So we have a time period we refer to as Judah alone. And then the Babylonians come along and take Judah into captivity. So what do you think that next time period is called? The captivity. The captivity does not last indefinitely. It comes to an end, so what would the time period after the captivity be called? The return from captivity. And we'll notice when we get to it that there are stages of that return. Okay? And we'll notice some of the major, or some of the prominent, shall we say, prophets and characters of that time. All right. So we have the return from captivity. After that, what is that period? 400 years of silence. Well, years of silence. It's going to be a while. Go to Amos chapter 8 and verse 11.
Yeah.
Got it there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jared's going to read.
Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord.
So, if you're not hearing the words of the Lord, it's really fair to call those years of silence. That was Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Okay? Those years of silence. When God does make himself known again, apparent again, in what form is it? It's through the life of Christ. So now we're moving into three periods we're going to see in the New Testament. 14 of the 17 periods were in the Old Testament or in that period of silence. There are three periods in the New Testament. The first one is the life of Christ. While Christ was on earth, he said, I will build my church. So the second of the New Testament periods is the early church. There arose several of those early disciples, apostles, some, who wrote epistles or letters to Christians. And that's the 17th period. Now, that's what we've done for the last, well, we've been at it a year now, right? Okay? That's our first year in 22 minutes. Now, we did some other things. We looked at where in Scripture, what are the scriptural parameters for these? We're not going to get into all that today. I would like to start with the wandering in the wilderness. During the Exodus, one of the last events during the Exodus was this thing with Aaron and Miriam contesting Moses. You know, who says you're the only one who can speak what God says? You know, we've been here all along. How did God deal with that? It's pretty harsh with Miriam. What did he do? She became leprous. And then Aaron comes along and makes this wordy defense. Oh, please, don't let this happen. Don't let it be like she was stillborn, and on, two full verses, I think it is. Moses, he says that to Moses, but Moses goes to God and speaks five words. Notice the difference. This wordy thing from Aaron, Moses goes to God with five words. What's God's explanation for why are you handling it this way? If she had spit in her father's face, she would have been unclean for 7 days, right? Is that not right, Moses? Yeah. But she's doing more than spitting in your face and in my face. So God relented and let it be the 7 years uncleanness, or seven days uncleanness. Before she could come back in. The people waited there. And there they are. I want to take this now to Kadesh. Some places are going to call it Kadesh Barnea. They get to Kadesh, and you know what they decide? It'd be a good thing to go see what this land looks like. We'll send some spies in. Whose idea was it to send spies? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Yeah, the people suggested it.
The people suggested it. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1 is the speech Moses. Deuteronomy is a lot of speeches. This one is one just before they're going to cross over. Just before they're finally going to do what they should have done 40 years prior. But there's some history in here, and we need to sometime, well, you know, we talk about this in a lot of applications. We need to see what other scriptures say. We need to look at this and get the whole picture from Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 1 is one of those history lessons. And he's telling them, he's recounting for them. Oh, where is it? 22. I'm sorry?
You want about verse 22.
22? Maybe so. Yeah. He's talking, chapter 1, verse 22. Let's start at verse 20. And I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up and take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. How many times had God promised them this land? How many times had he reiterated, this land is there for you. Go take it. How many times? I don't know. I lost count in all the excitement. But he had told them and told them, this land is yours. And Moses goes on. Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter. And the thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe, and they turned and went up into the hill country and so on and so on. And they brought back fruit. And then we can go back to Numbers chapter 13. But whose idea was it to go spy out the land?
God's.
How's that?
Numbers 13, 1 and 2.
Says,
and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourself men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their fathers' tribes, every one a leader among them. But I don't know whose idea was first, but it was everybody's idea. God said to do it, and the people wanted it.
Are there things that God allows, even though that might not be the way he intended? What had God been trying to get from these people throughout the time, from the time he led them out of Egypt? What had he been trying to get from them?
Two things, faith and obedience.
Yeah, let's say trust and obedience. Because we sing a song, Trust and Obey. And because I got this thing about Lot. Love, obey, and trust. That's what God wants from us. Jared added an A, always love, obey, and trust. Okay? Love, obey, and trust. Trust would be based on faith, wouldn't it? Hadn't God demonstrated time and time again, you people can trust me? But they get there. He says, here's this land. Go take it. Oh, what if we send some people in to take a look at it? What if we send some people in to see? So, I'm going to maintain that based on Deuteronomy, the seed of the idea came from those people. Moses endorsed it. Yes, he did. And God allowed it. And God even told him, pick 12 men, told him how to go ahead and effect it. But I'm not convinced that that's the way he really wanted it to happen. So you can wrestle with it for yourselves. I wrestled with it for a while, and that's where I am. I just think these people have continually demonstrated their lack of trust. And here they are saying, let's do this. Militarily, it might be a smart move. And we're going to see it happen again. You know, when we get into early Joshua, one of the first things that we see Joshua doing is sending two spies into what city? Jericho. Yeah. So, for whatever case. But I think as we look at what happened at Kadesh, we're going to see this people really needed some adjustment. And there are several things I think you're going to be able to take notes that, man, if they had only trusted. Lesson for us, though. You know, there's no point in going through all these 17 periods, looking at these historical accounts and so on, if we don't get the lessons for ourselves. It's no point at all. So let's get some lessons. Let's take a look at this. We know that God ended up giving detailed instructions, or a certain amount of detail, one man from each tribe. Moses has a list of those names. Those 12 men go in and spy out the country. Some people have said, yeah, they did about 500 miles in 40 days, which is 12, 14 miles a day. That's not bad. So 250 in, 250 out, however it works out, just so you know. But they go in there, and they come back, and Moses says, okay, what did you see? 10 of the spies had, the first 10 spies who spoke, what did they say about the land?
Good.
The land is good. What about the crops?
Big.
Took two of us to bring back this cluster of grapes. We had to put them on a pole and bring them back in. Oh, man, the way stuff grows there. Oh. But what about the people and the cities? What about the people in the cities? What do they say? They got great big cities and they are fortified, because when they were sent in, they were supposed to see, are they living in, you know, tents in the plain, or do they have fortified, well-walled, yeah, cities? And they said, they got fortresses. They're big people. We look like ants in their eyes. How would they know that? How would they know that? You think they walked up to these big guys, as they say, hey, how do we look in your eyes? We're planning on coming through here. How do we look to you? What they said was, we were ants in their eyes, or as ants in their eyes. They looked at us as ants in their eyes. How would they know that? What's the problem there? For us today, what's the problem? Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Comparison. When they looked at this at verse 33, they compared themselves to themselves.
Yeah.
In their own sight, in their own limitations, rather than comparing what they could do with God.
Okay, go ahead and expound on that. Today, What can be the problem? If we only rely on what we think we can do and not what God can do, you see the problem? Okay. Two spies gave a faithful report. Somebody go to Numbers 13, 32. And somebody else go to Numbers 14, 37. Who's at 13:32? All right, Josh.
So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land...
That's good. That's good. What kind of report?
Bad report.
All right. What other versions say? Evil report. Anybody else? Bad? Evil? Some will say ill, I think, or maybe that's coming up. Chapter 14, verse 37. What do you have? Josh, for consistency, what's your version say? It said bad report first time.
And
14:37.
14:37. Then he brought out a bad report.
Bad again? Sound like the same thing? Does it sound like the same thing? So far. If you go back to Hebrew, though, you know what you're going to find when you go to Hebrew? That there are two different words. Not the book of Hebrews, Hebrew language. Two different words there. The first one, in 13:32, according to the lexicon I consulted, in 13:32, for those of you taking notes and really want to remember Hebrew words, best I can do for pronunciation is dibbah, D-I-B-B-A-H, once it's anglicized, whatever. And it means it's defaming or slanderous. That's the character of that first bad report. Defaming or slanderous. In 14:37, a whole different word is used. It's R-A, which... First, I said, wait a minute. If we go back to Egypt, this and that, but don't go back to Egypt. Don't go down that rabbit hole. I did. It's just the Hebrew word R-A. And it's got a basis in another very similar word. I think it's three or two more. Two A's, rather, yeah. It would become Ra'ah. But what this Ra means, bad, evil, adversity, exceeding grief, hurt, misery, sorrow, trouble, wretchedness. And it's from a root which has to do with hurt, punishment, to show self-friendly, to do harm. Remember they had said the land is good, the land grows great crops and so on, oh, but the people. So they start off with, yeah, it's good, but whew, but those people in there, to vex, to punish, or to do worse. So what's the difference in the account or the use of words in those two passages?
I think we could argue from context that in chapter 13, it's talking about just a general direction of the report. It's not a good news sort of situation. But the next time in chapter 14, it's more about the result of the report.
Okay.
It is a negative influence on the people.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Except instead of the word result, I used impact. So the impact, the result on the people is they feel there's no way. We're going into some kind of punishment. We're going into a wretched situation. We're going into something that we just cannot handle. Some versions, instead of saying ill report twice, will say ill and evil, or instead of using evil twice, we'll throw in the word ill. Some versions do that. I'm not going to expect that everybody jump in and go do a word study on every Hebrew word that comes in here, but some of these, when you see a difference, because what triggered me on it was ill and evil, and then one of them just had one of the words. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's the difference, and what are we trying to get across? Is that two? One. Okay. Okay. Next week, what I'm going to do, we're going to go back to this, because this is where it starts, and this is why the wandering in the wilderness starts. It's because of the people's reaction to the reports from the spies. So what we're going to do next week, I've got about five, I think, phrases that are all going to start with D. They're going to start with D words. And what we're going to do is look at the impact of what these spies said. If you're interested in what the D's are, defied, disobeyed. Oh, I only got three of them on the paper here. I'm sorry. I got a big note above one of them. Doubted, discouraged, defied, disobeyed, and deserved. Okay? Those are the five words, the beginnings of five phrases I planned. Just don't worry, you're going to have a chance to write them down next week. Okay? They doubted his word. We can demonstrate that one real quickly. Hadn't God told him, it's yours, go take it. And they hear these spies' reports, how could God have done that? How could he be so mistaken? And they embraced what those ten said. Discouraged God's people. I think it's over in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Somebody can look there real quickly, but I think he's told there, he says right there, you have discouraged my people. Or the people. Is that right, Dennis? Am I in the right place? Deuteronomy 1:28. No? Josh is shaking his head. No. Oh, no. 26? 28. 28. All right. The people became discouraged. They doubted what God had said. They became discouraged. We're going to go on and see this. We're going to look at it real slow next week, Molly. Don't worry. We'll get it. Because I want you to understand these things, these three, four steps, and then how they end up with finally the last D is deserving God's judgment. They deserved what happened to them. They deserve being told, you're going to wander out there 40 years. You're going to walk around this wilderness. And notice how graphic it is. Read the accounts. I'll give you a sneak peek here. He says, he doesn't just say you're going to die in the wilderness. He makes it real clear. Your corpses are going to be in the wilderness. Not just you're going to die. We're all going to die sometime. You're going to be stomping all over your own corpses out here. Your corpses will be here. That makes it more concrete. So, we'll take a look at five things next week. Thanks for your participation. Don't worry about the notes you didn't get made. You'll have plenty of time.
Didn't they say something like the cities are walled up to the heavens or something like that?
Oh, might have. Big cities, big walls.